What's up, everybody? It's me, it's Ross, it's Red Optical Corp. I am here with a sort of Marvel Unagi, sort of Ross recap. Just going to go through some books, Marvel books, that I've really enjoyed over the past, you know, I don't know, week and a half. I think that these are really, really cool books. And if you're looking to jump onto Marvel, maybe this synopsis will help you with that. Anyway, I'm caught up on all of my Fall of X books. Now, I know when me and Kyle usually talk, we don't really talk about the X-Men stuff because he's so out of the loop with it. But I really wanted to say it was a really cool issue that started in a very James Bond style where there's a guy with a gun and he's approaching this guy at the lighthouse on Krakoa, or was it Krakoa? It was the lighthouse keeper of wherever they were during the Hellfire Gala when all of the mutants were sent off through the portal to basically the human race thinks that they're dead, but they're really in, I think the white hot room is what they call it. I forget. Anyway, doesn't matter, but it's really cool because guess who comes to save the day? The lighthouse keeper's just sitting there drinking his drink. It is Lockheed, and I am so happy to see him back. And as the issue progresses, the White Queen, Emma Frost, she is trying to get everybody, organized, and Magic returns. Now, Magic was off in space during this whole time, so it was really cool to see her back. But she had, Orcus had put like these like nanobots inside of her, and they were basically like keeping her from her being able to use her ability. Where she can just like open up portals and go through them, which is awesome. She's one of the coolest characters, you know, in all of Marvel that I think a lot of people do like her. Anyway, I really, really enjoyed this issue. She's kicking butt the whole time. And towards like the end, you could see, or maybe the middle, you could see that she's really now the nanobots that are inside of her are really hurting her. And you know, she might die and, you know, all of a sudden Kitty Pryde is there, coming to save her, trying to help her. And out of nowhere, the whole ceiling gets pulled off of the building that they're at, this like Orcus lab that, this Orcus lab where she felt like she could get the treatment. And it is none other than Polaris. And Polaris uses her ability to pull the nanobots out of her system through her nose, which is really crazy. And to see Magic scream the way she does, or her eyes and her nose, I don't remember. It was like pulled out of like her body, but really, really crazy. And then all of a sudden, Magic has her power back, and Kitty Pryde and Polaris, they have to fight these like Iron Man giant sentinel things. And it was really, really cool. And at the very end, Emma Frost shows up and has a special surprise, and that is Kitty Pryde is now back being reunited with Lockheed. And I thought it was such a great emotional ending. Really cool. I just can't wait to see where this goes. Cyclops and Magic are going to go to war at the end of this. So if you want to jump on and you liked any of what I said, just take what I said and run with it. X-Men is so awesome. I'm so, so happy I read it. I also got a chance to finally read the Giant Size Fantastic Four number one. I bought the Deadly Foes variant because like I look at the cover and it literally looks like a like Saturday morning cartoon. And I used to love those back in the 80s. And I thought that this was just like the perfect, perfect cover. It's a really interesting story. Reed is I forget what the other guy's name is, in the bottom of the ocean. They're like looking at some kind of moss or something. And they move the moss out of the way and realize there's like a giant door there. And, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I guess this is just how comic books and how things work in movies, too. It's like there's a big door. It's a big door at the bottom of the ocean. And it's got moss growing on it, which means it's probably been closed for a long time. Why are you opening it? I don't understand. Like, I get curiosity, but, you know, maybe go back and get your friends. Maybe go back and get some help, you know, before you just open it and open it. So I just thought that was just like, again, a crazy scenario. I don't understand why they did it that way. But anyway, they open it and inside is a former prince or king of Atlantis. Basically what Namor is but he was, this guy was like one of the first ones. And he is, they said, I forget what the quote is that they said, what was it? Oh, Imperius Rex. And they didn't know that that was based off of a person, but this you know, king, former king, was based on that. And the story is pretty interesting that they go back and they talk about how there were different like factions of people in Atlantis, and he wanted to try to get them all to be one and to be unified. And that's kind of the Fantastic Four, or at least Reed Richards feels like that, that this guy really isn't bad. But back in the day, when he tried to unify everybody, everybody got mad and they revolted because they're like, no, we're not going to unify. You're just trying to make everybody like each other. And, you know, again, I feel like that's one of these main themes that I've found in a lot of the books I read was, you know, somebody trying to unify people together and people being against unification as if it's a bad thing, as if it's like we can't all get along and we can't all be friends and hang out. And why can't we all? Like, why does it have to be so difficult? But they let him out and they let him, you know, try to rebuild Atlantis. Namor's in prison and, he, you know, they take him to, you know, where Atlantis was, and he sees it's all ruins. You know, you hope that they did the right thing, because at the very end, you know, Reed says he's not sure if they should have locked him away, kept him locked up. Did they make a mistake? You know, who's going to know? But I thought it was pretty cool. And then halfway through the book, because it's the giant size, they went back to a awesome issue back from like the 60s of Fantastic Four. I think it was 23. Was it 23? I can't remember. But it was like one of the early Fantastic Fours. And trying to read that is like trying to read a novel. There were more words in that second half of the book than all the other books I read combined all week. And it just goes back to, I think me and Kyle have talked about this, where I don't understand, you know, why they felt they need to say every little detail. Like, you have images here that help, but they would just say everything that they're doing. Like, I'm going to punch you. Like, versus just you see the picture of the guy being punched. Like, duh, I see you're punching him. Like, you don't have to tell me I'm going to punch you. And you wouldn't say that in real life. Like, I wouldn't walk up to somebody. I wouldn't punch somebody, but I wouldn't walk up to somebody and say, I'm going to kick you now. You got to be crazy if you think that that's going to ever work. So why would it work in the book? Anyway, it was a cool story, cool vintage throwback. I love those old FF stories, and just really, really, really good. And to keep in, you know, throwbacks, Captain America 7 was amazing. Weird, but amazing. Basically, like, I didn't know what was going to happen after he defeated the last villain in the end of the last thing and where they were going to go. Now he's approached by this, like, I don't know, mystical thing. I don't know. I think it's supposed to be like the bringer of life at the end. I think that's what I got out of it. But it's like this wacky, crazy story where he goes to this theater and there's all these crazy things happening where people are like cutting themselves in half and throwing things and, you know, going, I don't know. It was all kinds of wackiness. And it turns out that he was given it. He has to stop this woman who approached him, or this woman form, from her brother, who is basically like the embodiment of death. And I'm not sure where it's going to go, but he did get a really cool, like, silvery clear shield. And the only way he can really look at her brother is through the shield, or I think he'll die, or it'll drive him insane. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a cool story. I'm excited to see what this new story brings. And I don't know if it's going to tie back to the original one. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but at least, you know, I like that. It was a little bit kooky, a little bit crazy. Cause I find that a lot of times when I read these Marvel books, they all have the same formula not the same formula, but similar formulas. And this one's kind of reading as a, Not the Captain America book I would think it would be. It's almost like Captain America in a Doctor Strange world. And I think that that's interesting in itself because, you know, Steve Rogers is not a science guy. He was, you know, he's a fighter, but putting him in with these mystical beings and beings where he really can't fight that. Like, that's not power that he can defend. Like, if you put Doctor Strange against these people, yeah, like, you expect that kind of battle. But how he is able to survive and win these things using his strength of mind and character, just goes into one of these things that I find has been happening a lot in these books. Like I said, with the Fantastic Four, the giant size book, it's a matter of strength of character and trying to, get everybody on board of, getting along. It's interesting that that's where everything is going, but I feel like, it's just easy to do that way, and Marvel's been doing pretty well with some of these books. And then last book I wanted to just kind of go through was Avengers Twilight, which I can't say enough. It's so good. It was so good. I loved that halfway through the book, the Bullseye, who was on the Evil Thunderbolts team, hears James Stark like talk and realizes that, maybe Captain America, the old Captain America, is right. And so she decides to join him and she shoots James Stark with a bow and arrow, which is funny. And then Captain America's like, maybe you shouldn't be Bullseye. Maybe you should be Hawkeye or something like that. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then they have to try to escape because this whole issue is all about trying to steal the head of Tony Stark. Tony Stark's head is in like this this little like water chamber thing, kind of like if you remember Futurama, where they would just keep those heads alive in jars. That's kind of what it reminds me of. It reminds me of like keeping a head alive in a jar. I don't know what happened to his body. I don't know how they're able to do this, but it's comic magic. So I think that it's pretty interesting. And as they're trying to escape, they're just, defeating all these guards, doing all this stuff. And they finally make it out. And who's there? But now it's James Stark in a Stark armor. He is looking like Iron Man, but silver. And basically, there's no way that Captain America can stop him. And they're trying to figure this out. And guess who shows up? Who last issue said she wasn't going to? You have Miss Marvel come to save the day. She grows to like 200 feet and helps save these people that while James Stark is just going crazy, shooting everything and trying to destroy everything, trying to kill everybody. And as Miss Marvel shows up and saves them, the one page where she's just huge and holding the people when she says, I've got you all. I was like, oh yeah, that's so awesome. And it was just a really, really cool thing. And then the funny thing is that I thought that was going to be like, oh man, now she's here. Now they're going to win. That's it. This is so perfect. Everything is going great. And Iron Man is like, or James Stark Iron Man is like, ha ha ha. You think you can win with this? And then the very end, he is hit with a giant thunderbolt. And I'm like, oh, don't tell me he's in it. And I obviously picked up issue 4 of this, but I haven't read it yet. But I wanted to go through this one because this was so cool, the way it ends, where it's just like Thor on the top of the building, looking down on Captain America. James Stark, after he got struck with the lightning bolt, he's like, what did you do? And then Captain America goes, what I always do in hard times, I prayed. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like, Thor, shall we assemble? And I was like, oh yeah, this is so amazing. So I can't wait to read issue 4 because I have that, but I just haven't read it. I can't wait to read more of this stuff. Hopefully me and Kyle will do a Unagi and you don't have to just listen to my nonsense and ranting and my voice going through this stuff the next time. But I hope you guys all enjoyed a quick Ross recap. I try to keep it under 15 minutes so you can get in, you can get out, and you can enjoy your day. If you like any of these books, go check out your local shop. If you live in New York or Long Island and you live near me, go to Sayville, New York. Go to Android's Amazing Comics. They are awesome. If you're looking for an online retailer, Coffee and a Comic has been really, really clutch when I forget to pick up a book. And as always, keep reading comics.